I love that song. Whew. How many of you like or love singing to the Lord? Amen. Praise God. Yeah, I do too. What a wonderful worship experience. I thank the Lord for our praise team. Amen. Amen. Hey, you fathers, before you leave today, meet me and Shannon at the coffee bar. The church has a little gift for you. So please come. Don't forget to pick up your gift. But you know, Gabe called me the other day and he told me, you know, Dad, I could never fall in love with a girl that regularly poos her pants on a daily basis. But I hadn't met my daughter yet. Actually, I told him I was going to do that. That was for you, son. That was Dax Shepherd. Today's Father's Day. And we can sit here and give all type of quotes and things and jokes, but Mark Twain once said, when I was a boy at 14, my father was so ignorant. I could hardly stand to have him around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned those past 7 years. He still has more to learn, that 21-year-old. You know, I do rarely stop to do holiday messages. I rarely do, other than Thanksgiving and Christmas. Usually we stay in the Word right where we're at, right where God has led me in the Word to be. But today, however, I felt the need to focus a little on fathers, especially in the climate in our society today and within the church, on fathers. Billy Graham said, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. Now, when he said that, he was speaking in the context of Christianity. I would change that quote a little bit today and say, a godly father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in society. A godly father. I don't suppose for us fathers there's ever been an age where fathers have had more information, more access to information on how to fulfill that role of fathering. In fact, if you take a quick look at Amazon, it says that there are 13 must-read books on fatherhood. But to those 13, kid you not, are added almost an endless numbers of books such as The Joy of Fatherhood, Preparing to Be a Father, Unlocking the Power of Fatherhood, Rocking Fatherhood, Dude, You're Gonna Be a Dad, and plenty, plenty more. Well, certainly it is good to read all we can to learn and to glean information and wisdom and to about fathering and to build our marriages, our relationships, to help in those parenting skills, to become better fathers, to be those fathers that we would hope to be. But today I want to just help simplify it a little bit. Let's help simplify and wade through all the minutia out there and share with you today three basic essentials for being a father, for being the father God intended, as found in the book of books, God's book, the Bible. Three essentials. If this is all you had, then you would have all you need to start with. For with these three essentials, you will be well on your way to being the father that the Lord intends you to be. And what you do as a father with these three essentials, if you implement them, will last not only in your life, but generations to come. Three basic biblical essentials that will help build strong homes, strong marriages, and strong parenting. They were here long before the current books on being a father ever arrived. And they will be in vogue, if you're smart, long after many more books on this subject will come and go. Amen? In fact, any book, new or old, any one of them that is a book worth its salt, any book nero that draws its material from the Bible on being a father, no matter how it is filtered through personal experience or bolstered by modern studies, is nothing more than an application, an explanation, an exhortation of these three basic essentials we're going to talk about today. Amen. Interestingly enough, we find all three of them in one man in the Old Testament, a husband, a father, and we're going to look at him today. His name is Joshua. We're going to look at Joshua. We will look at a few verses, but I'm going to hover and land on the end of one verse in particular today that we will see these three essentials flow from. So look with me, please, at Joshua 24, 14 through 15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. So this morning, let's see in Joshua the three essentials for being all that God intended you to be as a father. All fathers, everyone, can look back and have some regret, amen? They can have some regret of what we could have done better, what we should have done better, how we failed at times, how we wish we would have had more victories. If you're a father with kids grown and gone, the purpose today is not to build in you regret. It's never too late, no matter where you're at in fathering, no matter where you're at in grandfathering, to improve in these areas as a father of babies, as a father of little ones, as a father of teens or adult children out and on their way, or grandchildren. It's never too late to take a look at these and say, I can do that now. Amen. Lord, I just thank you today for Father's Day. I thank you for fathers. I thank you for my father that you blessed me with. I thank you, Lord, for the fathers here at EC Grace. I pray, Lord, that the church can come around them and strengthen them and encourage them and help them as they have such a large responsibility to be fathers in their homes. I thank you, Lord, that we have the most perfect example in you, that you are our good, good father, the perfect father who loves us. We praise you for that, dear Father. In your name we pray. Amen. So, let's get into it. This first essential, you might even say principle, is crucial to being the father God intends you to be. If this is lacking, where this is lacking, or if this is waning in your life, parenting will shake, it will quiver, and it will flow into your marriage. As it goes on and progresses on, it will ruin the home to a degree. Sometimes small, seen many years later, sometimes seen right away. Despite all the how-to books that one reads on being a father, could it be love your wife, question mark? Could it be love your children? How about love yourself? How about love your career? How about love your possessions? No, this first essential is to be the father God intends you to be, you must love your father. You must love your father. I'm not talking about your biological father, but your heavenly father. You must love your heavenly father. Your children must see in words and in action your love for the Father in heaven, God the Father. It's imperative. To be the Father intends us to be, we need to be better children of our Father God. Notice in verse 15, be, and this is where we're going to hang today. He starts out with, but as for me. While Joshua, we're going to see, does speak for his family, he begins first where he should. He begins with himself. He starts with me ever before he says we. Notice that. As for me, he says, I will serve the Lord. I have made my decision, is what he said. When the Apostle Paul, when he was giving Timothy all the counsel Timothy needed to lead and to teach his family and to teach the family of Christ in the church, Paul said this before he told him anything else. Pay close attention to yourself. 1 Timothy 4:16. The same principle applies. As for me, Paul, pay close attention, Timothy, to yourself. That is where it starts. What kind of man are you? What type of man do you aspire to be? Are you a man after God's own heart, and does God know that, and would God say that? Are you seeking to live that godly life? All because you love your heavenly Father? Those are good questions. You see, when we love our heavenly Father as we should, guess what? Everything else will naturally flow out of that. Do you think that's the only responsibility? We can't even cover all the responsibilities today. The biblical love you are to have for your wife and children hinge on loving God with all your heart. I can't share this enough. It hinges on this. Loving God with all your heart, the way you are as a father and as a husband, will hinge on that. If you love God with all your heart, the love you are to have for your wife, your children, the sacrifices and commitments that you are willing to make on their behalf, it will reflect everyone in the love and commitment you have made already with your heavenly Father. Amen. Likewise, if that love and commitment to God the Father is lacking, your love and commitment to your wife and children will lack. Believe me, you wives know when that happens. Joshua is 110 years old here, and he has just rehearsed, if you go back and read all of chapter 24, all the mercies of God on their behalf. Victory after victory, grace upon grace, freedom from slavery unto salvation. All these mercies Joshua recites is the Old Testament equivalent to what Paul did in Romans 1 through 11 in the New Testament, and concluding all these mercies, Paul's conclusion was, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living, holy sacrifice acceptable to God. It hasn't changed from the Old Testament principle to the new. Amen? In this passage, Joshua is calling on the people to do more than what he hasn't already done. I mean, he's not calling on them to do more than he's already done. In 24:14, he says, now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Wow. And when you consider the rest of verse 14 and verse 23, it's really to put away, get rid of the gods that are in your midst, distracting you, drawing your heart away from me, tempting you away from serving the Lord, tempting you away from fearing the Lord and loving him with all your heart. You see, to be the father God intends a man to be, he must love his heavenly Father above all else. I just can't stress this enough. I just can't repeat this enough. You know, on a side note I would say at this point that any young woman out there, any young woman gathering with us on live stream, any young woman in here looking for a husband should not start with looking for a man to love her. That's a crazy concept in our culture, especially our culture's definition of love. She should be looking for a man who loves God with all his heart. Far too often, women, they look for a man's love only to realize much too late that he doesn't love God as he should. You see, it's natural for a wife to want her husband's love, and he should give it as Christ loves the church. But he should love God above all else, including his wife and his children. You hear that? When a woman has a man who loves his Heavenly Father with all his heart, who loves him most, she should be happy. That's why I married you. From that kind of man, she will receive all the love that God intended him to give her and his children. She will get everything she desires from the love that God intended for her to have. A love that will cherish her and the children. A love that will be full of integrity and full of compassion. Full of patience. A love that will sacrifice and stay the course. Amen, man? Amen. You may be saying, but wait a minute. It says serve, Pastor. It doesn't say love. How many of you had thought that? Wait a minute, Pastor. It says serve. How'd you get that first essential love out of that? Yes, you're right. It doesn't say love. It says serve. But that's what loving God is. It's a direct result of obedience in action through love. Serving the Lord, my friends, is a relationship of love based upon a remembrance of His grace and love towards you. You with me here? Notice that in Joshua 23, 6 through 8 and verse 11, that they are called not to serve other gods, but to cling to God. God is saying, don't serve or bow down to anything but me. Serve and bow down, clinging to me alone. Which in verse 11 is called love for the Lord your God. Notice that? Joshua knows when he says that he will serve the Lord, that he means in the beginning of those verses that he will be firm in keeping and doing what the Lord says by clinging to the Lord, and that is loving his God. You see that? And then he tells the people this in verse 15. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose. Choose. Wow. Choose for yourself today whom you will serve. Wow. He doesn't beat around the bush, does he? He doesn't water that down. He doesn't come alongside and just make that sound better. He just gets right to the point. He cuts right to the chase. You see, we must understand life is a matter of choices. Is God the God of your choices? We looked at that in Psalm 101 called Godliness 101, where David said over and over in Psalm 101, I will do this, I will do that, I will not do this, I will not do that. He was making choices. Choices. Joshua goes right at it, pulling no punches, and he cuts to the practical truth of it. What is he saying? He is saying, get on or get off. But don't ride the fence. Get on or get off. But don't ride the fence. You choose this day whom you will serve. As for me, he says, he laid it out. He laid out all that God had done for them. And his expectation is that they choose God. How unreasonable would it be not to choose the Lord? How unreasonable would it have been with all that God had done for them, bringing them there and into the promised land at the end of Joshua's life? How unreasonable for them to choose anything but God? But Joshua, he made his choice, but as for me, as a person, as a soul responsible and thankful to God my Father for all his blessings, I have long made up my mind to fear and serve the Lord, he's saying, because I want to prove my love for my Father. See, we cannot truly be all that God intends us to be as fathers until we are first godly men who are godly children of our Heavenly Father. That's so true. You see, God's grace, his power and blessing flows towards those who love him. Remember what Jesus exhorted in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom, right? And his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So the first essential for being the father God intends you to be is love your father. Love your father. With that essential in place in your life, it can't just stop with you, but it moves into the next essential for being the father intended you to be. Lead your family. Lead your family. Many can focus on things that are only temporal, but there is a focus for a man that is forever, my friends. Joshua 24:15, he says, as for me, and now he moves, and my house. And my house. Do you get the idea that was the way it was going to go in Joshua's home? You get the idea that's how it was going to be? You know, I heard a little joke. Little girl at supper time was sitting at the table with her parents and they were having dinner. And she said, she said, Daddy, you're the boss of the family, right? Her father, pleased with that question, with his chest swelling a little bit, he answered, well, honey, yes, I am. Then the little girl said, that's because mommy put you in charge, right? So many meanings to that. Let me lay this straight in our culture today, in the home that God intended. God has put the man in charge. Not in the sense that he is a worldly, dictatorial, mean boss, but that he is to be the loving leader in his home. Do you hear me there? He is to be the loving leader in his home, and that is the role God gave him. That's not popular today, but we don't mix popularity with the truth of God's word. Amen. This is not about inferior compared to superior. There is no such thing in a marriage of one inferior or one superior to the other. This is not about inequality or equality in a marriage, for there is equality with the man and the woman in the marriage. This is about the God-centered roles that he has given for the household in the marriage covenant. How do you think Joshua could speak for his house? How do you think he could speak for his family at this time as he's talking to Israel? I mean, do you think that the night before he addressed the people, he said this to his wife, honey, honey, can I have a talk with you? I'm going to challenge the people tomorrow, okay? I'm going to call them to follow the Lord and serve him with all their hearts. do you think you could suppose you'd back me up on that? Do you mind if I tell them that you will also? Oh, honey, one last thing. would you be the first one to come forward when I give the invitation? Do you think that went down? No way. Joshua was a man that led his family after the things of God, and he has shown that in his life. He spoke those words with confidence as he's made that choice, and his family knew. This is the ministry, everyone, of the man in the Christian family. The man in the Christian family has a ministry that God wants him to fulfill. Just as Christ loves the bride, the church, just as he seeks to sanctify the bride so that there is no spot or wrinkles, that she be holy and blameless, so fathers and husbands ought to lead in this ministry in their own homes. It's paramount. It's your ministry, man. In this house, we will fear, my family, we will fear the Lord. We will serve the Lord in this house. In this house, we will love the Lord. The Father God expects is a father who does not compromise on this. No matter the pressure from the outside or the inside, he cannot compromise on this. He doesn't sit back, my friends, and let his young children build their own values, respecting their wish to live their lives as they see fit because they're individuals and we just want to respect their opinion. They do not get anything of an ungodly opinion. And if they have any ungodly opinion, that is the time to sit them down lovingly and patiently share the truth with them. This is the ministry of the man in the Christian home. He doesn't trust someone else to do it for him either. Believe me, if he won't, someone else will. Society will. Friends will. The school will. See, the godly father, he sets the mission. He sets the purpose. And he sets it based only through God's word. You see, we should want to pray for fathers each and every day. Grandfathers, to fathers of children who have gone on, to fathers of high schoolers, junior hires, elementary school, babies, infants, toddlers. We need to pray for our fathers that they model it, that in their homes they demand it. This father, he expects it. He teaches it. He instructs. He corrects. He admonishes. He encourages. He disciplines, patiently leading from the front and sometimes from the sides and sometimes from the rear. But he has a ministry and he has a purpose in his heart, that he loves the Lord his God with all his heart, and he was willing to lead his family. He should be saying to his family from a very young age, we will fear, honor, cling to, serve the Lord, showing our love for the Lord. You know, often we hear it all the time. We see it in the church. We see it in books. We hear what's going on in the culture and in Christianity. I'm afraid in far too many cases, it's not dad saying these things. It's moms. We saw in disciplines of a godly man, when it came to the disciplines of godliness in the man in Christianity today, we saw this in men of valor, that far too often the statistics are overwhelming, where it's the moms who are the spiritual leaders of the home. Don't get me wrong, this is Father's Day we're talking about. It doesn't mean moms don't spiritually lead, teach. We're not saying that. Absolutely they should. It seems too often the fathers take more seriously their role to provide materially and protect physically than to lead spiritually. And that's upside down, my friends. That's upside down. Jesus said a man does not live by bread alone, which is physical material needs. Guess what? Nor do families. Nor do families. In the end, material provision will never make up for. It will never fill the void left by a father who lacks spiritual leadership in the home. That is devastating. Taking the lead, he should be doing in providing spiritual bread. This father is going to pray and teach his children how. And you're going to hear a word I'm going to keep inserting. I believe this is missing. I believe it's paramount in fathering. This father, he is going to teach his children how to pray. He is going to teach them how and why. This father is going to go to church. He's not sleeping in while he's letting his wife and children sleep in. He's going to take ownership of that home spiritually. You're coming with me. And he's going to teach them why. Why? This father will serve, so his children will serve at a young age, and he will teach them why. He's not just going to tell them to do. He's going to show them in God's word why. The father will be in the word, and they will see it, and he will teach them the word, have them be in the word, and teach them why. This father will take the lead in providing spiritual protection. How so, you may mention. How can a father provide spiritual protection and tell them why? We're not going to watch this. We're not going to listen to this. We will not participate in this, and you will teach them why. I'm not going to allow you to do that. Here is why. The father will spiritually protect his children, and he will teach his children everything from sexuality, everything there is to do with sexuality, to politics, spiritual to social, and tell them why, according to the word of God, which is from God, whom he loves with all his heart. You see, me growing up, when I grew up, I was told a lot of reasons why I couldn't do something. Do you remember that whole legalistic move? You can't go to R-rated movies. Never was told why. You can't do this. Why? Dad, I don't mean that on you. I'm talking about, you know, overall life. My dad taught me. But imagine a father sitting down saying, let me show you in the word why you don't want to do this. Let me show you in the word how to love God. Let me show you in the word what he's done for us. You must provide spiritual protection to your children. You see, the father that leads his family to serve God, the father who leads his family to love God and fear God, will more than make up for any lack of material provision that's lacking in the home. God will provide for that. Amen? I hear you, Pastor. I hear you, man. That's easier to say than do. I try to fit in the spiritual when I can. I mean, do you not understand? I'm competing with career, social media, hobbies, schoolwork, sports, ballet, music lessons, and on the list go. I mean, the reason my kids are never here is we travel ball. Travel ball is more important than the Lord. And even though they're never going to grow up to be a pro, they're never going to make a living at it. They just live their lives through their children. Academics is more important than the Lord. All the school things to be involved in is more important than the Lord. Why? Because they need to get scholarships. Don't you know? Don't you know, Pastor? The more well-rounded and social my children is, with tons of activities to be involved in, it will help them be successful in this world, rich in this world, happy in this world. I bought into that trap from time to time. And that list goes on for miles and miles. So here's what I say to a father like that. There's so much to say. We could talk about priorities and managerial skills and time management. But how about this? Perhaps the key to this is the third essential for being the father God intends us to be. We see love your father. We see lead your family. How about you live your faith? Live your faith. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now he goes into we will serve. Notice it doesn't say, as for me and my house, they serve the Lord. Not it is we. No, it is we. Joshua was saying, I'm going to be right there living what I believe, I'm going to be right there with what I expect from them doing what I expect. I too am going to serve right alongside them, teaching it, explaining why, backing that up with showing up. I will show up every day as that father doing what I expect them to do. Notice, live your faith, your Christian biblical faith. Let's give the truth out where it is. Many worldly fathers have lived whatever they believe, and their children have emulated their courage, emulated their tenacity, emulated their drive. But I want to show you something very unique here. The ministry of the Christian father. The goal of the Christian father. It is to hand our children an example of faith that we have found workable, satisfying, believable, and dependable, trusting that the Holy Spirit through us will bring your children to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, for Christianity to be real, for the Word of God to be real, your children must see it as workable, satisfying, believable, and dependable. And that's you, Father, you, Dad, living your faith. Amen. A biblical faith that demonstrates these things, my friends, that eternal things are more important than temporal things. Spiritual matters are more important than physical matters. Godly character is more important than your career. Loving people is more important than any and all possessions. Prayer is more powerful than perspiration. Integrity is more valuable than your ingenuity. Service to God is more important ever than service to self. And love is more important than anything else. And that love must start with your Father, God in heaven. Teach these things to your children by living this faith. Someone is watching. You know, none of this means that fathers will live their faith perfectly, does it? How many of you dads have failed at times? Good, we're all in good company. We're all in good company. Did you know if you look up the word father in the dictionary, it will look like this? Father, it's a noun. There's this definition. Guess what? Immediately preceding the word father is the word fathead. A slow-witted, stupid person, a fool. There have certainly been many times in my role as a father that I have felt like a fathead. And times I've actually been a fathead. I've done some dumb things as a dad. I was dense at times as to what was needed. I was aloof at times to what was going on. I've had times where sin was apparent in my life. I've discovered that, like in the dictionary, so in life, one can easily go between father and fathead. Fathead. Father. Fathead. Father. I'm a fathead. I'm a father. My kids will tell you that is true. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. Dads, grandpas, living your faith even in failure, all it means is that you admit those failures. You confess those failures. You seek forgiveness for them. You pray about them. You work on them, and you teach about them to your children. Your children are going to face failures in life, my friends, so teach them how to live their faith through those failures. They will understand more what forgiveness means, what reconciliation means, what imperfection means, what searching and yearning after God means, if they see that in you, even in your failures. Be quick, quick to address them. Living your faith, my friends, is not about perfection, but about the direction in which you're moving. And this is why I'm so encouraged in my Christian life that no matter where I'm at, even at 52, I still feel like God is still moving me, teaching me, rounding me, molding me more into His image. I mean, I thank God I'm here now compared to when I first started being a dad at 22? Somewhere around there, I was, you know, back in Buku Fathead times. I mean, I had just come to know Christ. Wow. I'm so thankful for that. And this kind of goes together. When you're not loving your Father as you ought because you have so much of the world, so much of its idols in you, too much love of self, then you will not be living your faith as you ought, and then you will have no place to lead your family. Because you cannot take your family where you have not been. You cannot lead them where you're not going. You must lead the way. You can tell them what to do and how to walk, but sooner or later, our life, the one we consistently live, will speak louder than those words. So I want to close today with two benefits. What I'm so encouraged about is I don't care, dads, what you've done in the past or what we wish we could have done better. Do you know God can use each and every one of us in our children's lives right now, no matter their age? Do you know even now you can go back to adult children and apologize and talk about what God's doing in your life if there's any need of that? God can take you, Grandpa, take you, Dad, take you, new dad, right where you're at and use these three essentials in your life right now if you'll commit to them. So the first benefit, if you love your Father, lead your family in spiritual matters, and live your faith by the power and the grace of God, you will have all the resources God intends you to have. Because God is always looking for men to serve Him, always looking for men to live for Him, so that He can live through you. That's a benefit, amen? With all that the family faces today, with all the challenges that parenting calls for, how we need resources beyond our own. We do not possess the resources in our own strength. Those resources flow, my friends, in abundance to those fathers who love God the Father and live for Him. Amen. Second, you will have the respect of your family. This respect comes the old-fashioned way. It's earned. Wives are commanded, everyone, to respect their husbands in Ephesians. And children are commanded to respect their fathers in Leviticus. But isn't it so much easier and more natural to have that respect when you don't command it, but your life commands it? When our lives command it, it will be naturally given. You see, when we as Christian fathers live for the Lord, everyone, when we are drawing on His resources, we will have more to give and more to leave for them by the way of example. Your children may reflect what you have lived, yes, or they may reject it. But they will always remember how you lived and respect you for it, and God will get the glory. So fathers, grandfathers, choose you this day. Choose you this day. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Choose this day. I'm going to love and serve my Lord. I'm going to lead my family in spiritual matters. I'm going to set the tone in the home. I'm going to live my faith, and I'm going to leave a legacy of loving the Lord to my children. They're going to see that God's word is dependable. They're going to see that God's word is alive. They're going to see that God's word is usable and practical and real. And they're going to meet my Lord. I will lead them there. We can do that. Amen, dads. Amen. You know, I want to encourage you fathers. I want to encourage you big time that if you take these three essentials and you say, Lord, I want to pray these into my life. And wives, if you'll pray for your husband in those same ways, God will honor that. God will lead you there. He'll give you the resources you need. We need to be praying for one another, praying for our children today. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lord, I just thank you today for our fathers. Lord, let us love you with all our heart. Lord, give us the desire and the will to lead our families, even in the midst of so much opposition. But Lord, don't let me just love you, lead my family. Let that love be proven in my leadership by living out my faith. Let us live out our faith to our wife. Let us live out our faith to our children and our grandchildren. And Lord, in here today where any father's hurting about the past, Lord, you have corrected that in him. You have already forgiven him, for he's already come to you. Let him go to his children. Lord, there's nothing, no bridge so far you can't repair. Lord, let us today choose to serve you, to love you, to lead for you, to live for you. I pray for our fathers that you'll strengthen them, that you'll embolden them. Oh, Lord, please protect them from temptation. Protect them from the evil in this world and the evil one. Lord, for the sake of your name, for the sake of your testimony in the world, for the sake of this man, his wife, and his children, Lord, rise him up. Give him your power and your strength, your determination to set his will to love and lead his family tenderly, with strength of courage of heart that only you can give. Put the courage in our men, Lord, to serve you. For them and their house, they will serve you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.